He's coming this way!
What do you think he's gonna do, sir? Sir!
My God!
He's coming over! He's coming for us!
Get down! Get down! Get off the roof! Get off!
The story so far. In the city of Ankh-Morpork, the greed and sheer heaped-up unpleasantness of a group of men known as the Brethren, led by the mysterious Supreme Grand Master, has conjured forth a dragon. Is it a real one, or is it merely a potent symbol of moral decay? And if so, why does it hurt so much when it breathes on you? And what can be done about it? Would counselling help, or might heavy artillery do the trick? All hope rests on the shoulders of the erstwhile drunk Captain Vimes and his sorry bunch of men, the Night Watch.
Gods, Gods. A Discworld novel from the pen of Terry Pratchett. Rendered into dramatic form by Michael Butt. With Martin Jarvis as the narrator. John Wood as Captain Vimes. Melvin Hayes as Nobby. Stephen Thorne as Sergeant Colon, and Death as himself. Episode 3.
Upon waking from unconsciousness, it is traditional to ask, "Where am I?" as Captain Vimes now did.
Where am I?
You were nearly a goner there, Captain.
Vimes opened his eyes. There was a ceiling. This ruled out one particular range of unpleasant options, and was very welcome. His blurred vision also revealed Corporal Nobbs, which was less so. Corporal Nobbs proved nothing. You could be dead and see something like Corporal Nobbs.
Captain? Captain?
Hey? Nobby?
Sir?
Have I already said where am I?
Yes, sir. You're in a bed.
Well, keep going.
In a bedroom.
Bit more?
I don't know. Belongs to some poshpint. Said to bring you here.
A Lady Ramkin.
Could be. Great big biddy. Mad about dragons.
A Lady Ramkin. What happened on the roof, Nobby?
He's coming for us!
Off the roof! Off the roof!
Can I give you a hand, sir?
My side hurts.
Well, that was where you hit the privy roof, sir. On the way down.
What about Sergeant Colon? Is he hurt?
Well, not hurt. Well, not exactly hurt, but being of a larger weight than you.
What?
He didn't bounce off the privy roof so much as... He went through it. Then this woman comes up.
Oh, the poor dear captain. Bring him to my house this instant.
Everyone was running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
And the dragon?
Well, the magicians tried to eat it with fireballs. That just seemed to make it angrier.
And?
That's about it, really. It flamed a few things, and then it must have flown away.
It disappeared?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose you could say that.
Say, are you decent?
I've
brought you something nourishing. Do you like bacon, eggs, and potatoes, that sort of thing?
Oh, that's very kind of you, Lady Ramkin.
Oh, not a bit of it. Oh, you've got some very bad bruising and probably a cracked rib or two. When you've finished your breakfast, you can roll over and I'll put a bit more of this cream on.
Oh, now,
don't play silly buggers, man. One backside is pretty much like another.
What is it?
It'll reduce the bruising and promote the growth of healthy scale.
What?
No. Probably not scale, but first things first, eat up. We've got to get you strong again. I made some notes last night about the dragon. I've done a bit of working out. It shouldn't be able to get airborne. I mean, if it's built like a swamp dragon, it ought to weigh about 20 tons. It's impossible. It should have torn its wings off and left a bloody great hole in the ground.
I knew there was something wrong. And the flame, too. Nothing goes around with that kind of heat inside it. I mean, How do swamp dragons do it?
That's just chemicals. They just distill something flammable from whatever they've eaten and ignite the flame as it comes out of the ducts. They never actually have fire inside them in case they get a case of blueback.
Well, what happens then?
Well, then you're scraping dragon off the scenery. I'm afraid they're not very well-designed creatures.
But what about the big ones?
They're alettrons, you know. It seems as though one species of dragon started getting bigger and bigger and then just vanished.
What, died out, you mean?
Oh, no. They turn up from time to time, full of vim and vigour, and then one day they stopped coming at all. I think they found somewhere where they could really be.
Could really be what?
Dragons. Where the gravity wasn't so strong or something. Some other dimension. We've got to find its lair.
No bloody newt sets fire to my city.
Oh, by the way, I set up your new headquarters.
The watch house.
Oh, completely destroyed.
Oh.
So I'm letting you have a place in Pseudopolis Yard. My father had places all over the city, quite useless to me. Well, Sergeant Colon has the keys.
You're being very kind, you know.
Oh, stuff and nonsense, man. Now then, you really ought to be getting some sleep. And what in heaven's name is that? What is the meaning of this?
Are you Lady Ramkin, the dragon breeder?
And if I am?
If you are, then you are committing a public nuisance. We have come to extinguish them.
One step nearer and you'll be sorry.
Oh, yeah? And what will you do, Lady Ramkin?
I'll call the watch.
Sorry?
The watch.
Tell me, my lady, do you often visit this planet? Now, you just stand aside, sweetheart, and point the way to them dragons.
Here's one. Gentlemen, meet good boy Bindle Featherstone of Quirm, the hottest dragon in the city. He could burn your head off. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're wondering, has it got any flame left? And, you know, I'm not so sure myself. What you've got to ask yourself is, am I feeling lucky? Well, are you feeling lucky? Go on, punk. Make my day.
Look, there's no cause for anything like that.
In fact, he might just decide to flame off all by himself. They have to do it to stop the gas building up. It builds up when they get nervous, and you know your being here is making him pretty damn nervous. Drop your weapons. That includes you, asshole. Now, before you good citizens leave, I suggest that you take a good look at these dragons. Are any of them 60 feet long? Hmm? Do you see any with an 80-foot wingspan?
Don't pull me, Mammy, please! We're going.
Just one moment. This is a collecting box for the Sunshine Sanctuary for Sicker Dragons. I am placing it by the door. You may wish to contribute.
Let's put it this way. You will wish to contribute.
Thank you. That was very brave.
Not at all.
Look at the way he's looking at you.
Who?
Good boy Bindle Featherstone. I can tell he likes you. Listen to his stomach.
Oh, yes.
Would you accept him as a gift from me?
What? No. I mean, no, really.
I insist.
I don't even know what he eats.
Oh, everything. Except metal and igneous rocks.
But...
Oh, he's the most relaxed dragon I've ever bred.
Oh, right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I really must get dressed and try to pick up the trail of the other dragon. I'm going to start from where it was first seen in the Shades District. There might still be some clue.
Are you going alone?
Well, I'll pick up the watch on the way.
I mean, are you going without me?
Madam.
Sybil, please.
Sybil.
The Shades is not an area where I would encourage a lady.
Oh, silly boy, thinking of me. I'll be safe with you and your men. No more? Oh, thank you so much for coming.
Lady Rankin?
Sybil?
I've just had a thought. Sybil, would one dragon be able to sniff out another?
How do you mean?
I mean, could this little fellow find a scent and follow it?
Brothers! Brothers! We are so near! Just one more summoning! Just a few more hours!
Sir?
Yes, brother doorkeeper.
Well, some of the brothers have been wandering.
Yes.
Well, some of us have been feeling sort of drained.
Every time we summon this dragon, I mean afterwards, we feel...
Drained.
Knackered.
Weak, sort of, you see.
It's like we're being sucked dry. I want to know what's going on.
No, brothers, what you describe so eloquently is perfectly natural. All great wizards experience such things.
And do they?
Yes. The great Grimgrot himself often felt drained after an extensive bout of magic. But let me reassure you, in a few short hours it will all be over. And I have no doubt that the new king will reward you handsomely.
But the dragon...
After today there won't be any dragon. We won't need it anymore.
Yes, but...
Look, it's very simple, Brother Fingers. Everyone knows that the returning king bears a miraculous sword, which, when it touches the dragon...
Eh?
It'll be... No more dragon.
Today, you say?
Yes.
But...
Yes, Brother Fingers.
Won't people be suspicious? I mean, won't they expect to find the dragon's body after it's been slain? Won't they?
No. One touch from the sword of truth and justice will destroy forever the spawn of evil.
Oh, right.
Right.
Hmm? Oh, that's what people will believe anyway. A bit of mystic smoke, eh?
Yes!
They'll believe anything. They'll probably tell their grandchildren they saw it happen. That they were there the day the dragon disappeared.
Yes! People are so stupid!
Yes! Yes, aren't they? Aren't they just...
Now, we begin. Safe for the moment in his new headquarters, Sergeant Colon ran a finger round his collar. His skin was impressively pink, the result of a morning's scrubbing, but people were still staying at a respectful distance.
Sun's going down, Sergeant. Soon be night.
Yes, thank you, Carrot.
So we'll be going out on patrol soon then, Sergeant?
No hurry, Carrot.
But it's nearly sundown.
Yeah, I know that, but we have to... Well... Look, first of all, we have to,
arrange a lady's affairs.
Yeah, arrange a... what he said and so on.
No, I'm not with you.
Look, what I'm saying, Carrot, is there's no rush. What's the rush?
There's a dragon out there, Carrot.
Yes, and the captain wants us to find it.
He won't learn, Sarge. Tea?
Ooh.
What's he say?
Don't ask me. He wants sugar in his tea or something. How should I know?
I'd say we just had time for a quick game of cards, then.
I don't think so, Sarge. Lady Rampkin's here. And the captain.
Attention!
My squad, ma'am.
At ease! Impressive-looking bunch. The good old rank and file, eh?
Well, the rank, at any rate.
I always think we can sleep safer in my bed, knowing that these brave men are watching over us. Ah, and who is this?
Oh, he's plain clothes, ma'am. SAS. Special Ape Services.
It is difficult for an orangutan to stand to attention. Its body can master the general idea, but its skin can't. The librarian was doing his best, however, standing in a sort of respectful heap at the end of the line and maintaining the kind of complex salute you can only achieve with a 4-foot arm.
Very enterprising. How long have you been an ape, my man?
Woo!
Well done. A credit to you, Captain Vimes.
Pardon?
A fine body of men.
Woo!
Anthropoids.
Thank you, ma'am. 3 cheers for her ladyship. Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray!
Hip hip!
Hooray! The watch felt tremendously bucked up, which was almost certainly how Lady Ramkin would have put it, and which was definitely several letters of the alphabet from how they normally felt.
What's that smell?
Oh, I do beg your pardon.
It's your dragon.
Nobby.
You're a naughty boy, good boy Bindle Featherstone. I'm afraid they often do that when they're excited.
Never mind, ma'am. We'll soon have it cleaned up.
I do hope you like him, since he's yours now.
You are.
Lady Ramkin was good enough to give...
Good boy Bindle Featherstone?
Yeah, to us, as a mascot.
He looks like my brother, Errol.
Sergeant Colon, would you mind telling me what this ape is doing here?
With your being away, sir, I thought we were a bit short-handed, so I swore him in.
You swore him in? You swore him in what, Sergeant?
As a special constable, sort of citizen's watch.
Special? Bloody unique.
Well, just temporary, sir, while the emergency lasts. And besides, he's the only one who seems to like us.
I think it's a frightfully good idea.
Oh, do you? Right. Okay. I give in. Fine. Give him a badge. Although I'm damned if I know where he'll wear it. Fine, yes, why not?
You all right, Captain?
Fine. Welcome to the new watch. Great. After all, we pay peanuts. We might as well employ...
Just one thing, Captain.
What?
The M-word, sir.
The M-word?
Yeah, you were just about to use it. It gets up his nose, sir. He can't help it. He loses all self-control. Ape, he's all right, sir, but not the M-word, because when he gets angry, I mean, he doesn't just go and sulk, sir, if you see what I mean. Well, he's no trouble at all, apart from that. All right, just don't say monkey.
Ah!
Oh, shit.
Dragon, your master has a job for you. Dragon, a job for you.
Many of the denizens of the Shades district of Ankh-Morpork were out dragon hunting as Lady Ramkin's carriage drew up. Those that remained were less inclined than hitherto to lurk in dark alleys. The wall hadn't been knocked down yet, and still bore its grisly fresco.
This is the place. Is Errol ready, milady?
Oh, indeed, and raring to go.
Right, let him sniff the wall. Get a good scent of it. Now, Errol. Find.
Not working, sir.
Good idea, though, milady.
Shut up, Bobby.
It might have been all the rain and the people walking about, I suppose.
Oh, down.
You're disappointed, sir.
No. It's par for the course. Now what?
Captain, what? It's on the roof.
What is? Good grief.
Don't make any sudden moves, and don't show fear. They can always tell when you're afraid.
Is there any other advice you could offer at this time?
Oh, tickling them behind the ears often helps, and a good shot, no. And taking away their food bowls.
Oh.
And, of course, in extreme cases,
yes.
I hit them on the nose with a rolled-up newspaper.
Oh, blimey.
Thank you, ma'am.
Why is it sucking air in?
It's saturating it with combustion gases.
Meaning?
He's going to flame us.
Come, return. Come, I say. Obey me. Come.
No, look! It's going. Follow it.
Hey,
what shall we do, sir?
Well, you heard the lady. Follow it.
Peanuts, figgins, hot sausages.
Hello, lads.
Hello, Captain Vimes. In at the death, eh? Have a sausage. On the house.
What's going on, Throat?
Some kid's ridden into the city and says he'll kill the dragon. Got the magic sword, he says.
Yeah, has he got a magic skin to go with it?
You got no romance in your soul. Of course, by rights, there should be a maiden chained to a rock.
The people of Ankh-Morpork had a straightforward, no-nonsense approach to entertainment. And while they were looking forward to seeing a dragon slain, they'd be happy to settle instead for seeing someone being baked alive in his own armour. After all, you didn't get the chance every day, and it would be something for the children to remember.
Can I press you to a sausage, madam?
Oh, my, my, they look good. But I think I'll decline, Nobby.
All right. Here, give me one, Throat.
Help yourself. Captain, he says he's the rightful heir to the throne.
What throne?
The throne of Ankh.
What throne of Ankh?
You know, kings and that. Wish I knew his name. I've put in an order for 3 gross of coronation mugs. It's going to be a right pain putting his name on that lot by hand.
Carrot?
Yeah?
Can you see anything?
I can see a lad on a horse in the middle of the plaza. He's got a nice, shiny sword. Doesn't seem to be doing much at the moment, though.
He made a speech about how he was going to kill the dragon, overthrow the usurpers, and right all wrongs. Everyone cheer.
What is the matter with them? What wrongs? Come on, tell me, you gullible twat. What wrongs is he going to write?
Well, taxes. They're wrong for a start.
When did you last pay taxes?
No, but he's right, though. And another thing, the gutter of my house leaks something dreadful. The landlord won't do anything. That's wrong.
What?
I'm premature baldness. That's wrong. The king will cure that.
I don't believe this.
They can never reply to criticism.
That's not fair, is it?
Well, that's how you can tell they're of the royal blood. It's all to do with being gracious.
Aren't they lovely? Oh, they are. Where would we be without them?
And they never carry money either.
Why, it's not very heavy.
You probably get weak arms being a king with all the waving.
Why don't you shut up, you sentimental gits? You deserve to be conservo bloody morons.
You got no soul, Captain.
You got some. How much are they?
When a stranger comes into the city under the thrall of the dragon and challenges it with a glittery sword, well, there's only one outcome, ain't there? It's probably destiny.
You thieving bugger throat, yesterday you were flogging cuddly dragon dolls.
No need to get excited. That was just business.
Carrot, what's happening? I can't see a bloody thing. What's the matter with you?
The dragon circling the young man.
Really slowly, as though he can't quite work out why he's being challenged.
But I'll tell you this, the young man looks very confident.
That's what I said. It's destiny.
He's going to be incinerated, you stupid bugger.
He's moving towards him.
Who?
The dragon.
And the young man?
He's...
Why doesn't he run for it while he's got the chance?
He's standing his ground. He's raising his sword. All shiny it is. The dragon's clawing at his nose. He can't understand it. He's got no flame. And the young man's moving up to him. He's lifting his sword.
What's happened? Carrot, what's happened?
And now it was 2 o'clock on the following morning, and all was well. Apart from the rain. Ankh Morpork was pushing the boat out. Fireworks banged and sparkled in the damp air over the turbid mud of the River Ankh. Various domesticated animals were being roasted in the streets. Dancers congered from house to house, often managing to pick up any loose ornaments while doing so. There was a lot of quaffing going on. People who in normal circumstances would never think of doing it were shouting hurrah.
No, I've got no appetite for their celebrations either.
Whoop.
Oh, no thanks. If I drank tonight, I'd see things even worse than I normally do. Go on, Errol.
My God, where does he put it?
It's all right, we've got another bag of coal out the back. I just can't settle. Questions. Can you write? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult you. It might help to get things down on paper, that's all. A personal assistant is not among the resources normally available to a captain of the night watch. Ready?
Whoop.
1. It is a heavy dragon, yet it flies very well. 2. The fire is unbelievably hot, yet comes out of a living thing. 3. While swamp dragons are small, this one is a monster. 4. No one knows where it comes from, nor where it goes, nor where it lives in between times. Question. Can a dragon be destroyed into utterly nothing? Question. Why did it explode so that no one can find it, though they searched the whole plaza? Errol. Oh, never mind, never mind. We never use those fire irons anyway. Nor the paper either. Question. How can kings come out of nowhere? What are your impressions of this new king?
Ooh.
Oh, really? Well, I grant you, he's probably not an original thinker, but personable enough, surely. A kind of profile I suppose you wouldn't mind on your small change. But the way they carried him aloft into the palace, and the speed with which Lord Vetinari found himself in his own dungeons.
Ooh.
No, you're right, he didn't seem to mind, just went smiling. Maybe I just don't like change. Question. Isn't it truly amazing that just when there's a young man who claimed to be king, there was in the city a dragon for him to kill? Sorry. Dragon for him to kill so that he can prove beyond doubt his bona fides. Question. Why, just when it needed to, couldn't the dragon flame? And where did it come from? And where did it go? No, that's all. Underline the word go, would you? Crime has been committed. I'm sure of it. Might not be in Carrot's book, but I'll find it and put a name to it.
The dragon could remember the feel of air under its wings and the sheer pleasure of the flame. There had been empty skies above and an interesting world below. And just when it was beginning to enjoy it, it had been whipped back like some hairy canine mammal. The world had been taken away from it. It had been summoned and disdainfully banished again. In the reptilian synapses of the dragon's mind, the suggestion was kindled that, just possibly, it could get the world back. Perhaps there was a trail, a scent, a thread which would lead it to the sky. A way back. A pathway of thought. It recalled a mind, a peevish voice, so full of its own diminutive importance, a mind almost like that of a dragon, but on a tiny, tiny scale. It stretched its wings.
Narrator, Martin Jarvis. Captain Vimes, John Wood. Corporal Nobby Nobbs, Melvin Hayes. Sergeant Colon, Stephen Thorne. Carrot, Robert Gwillin. Lady Ramkin, Helen Atkinson Wood. Brother Doorkeeper, Jeff Nuttall. Brother Fingers, Michael Roberts. Supreme Grand Master, Brett Usher. Lord Vetinari, Crawford Logan. Death, death. Other parts, members of the cast. Guards, Guards by Terry Pratchett was dramatized for radio by Michael Butt and directed by John Taylor.